Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. This is, what is today? October 13th. It's Friday the 13th, but I don't go there with that. Maybe that's it. Oh, I never thought about that. If today has been upside down, today has been totally upside down for me, and I didn't even think about that. Okay, never mind that everything else, all the other things that I'm doing today. Oh, okay. But anyway, it's October 13th, and I'm Julia Cannon. I still am that person.
Yeah.
Anyway, you would not believe where I am. I'm so excited. I got to do, remember last week I said, maybe, if I can get this to happen, I will be someplace, and I'm here. Anyway, I made it all suspenseful. I didn't tell anybody. So, anyway, I am at the Board Camp Crystal Mine just outside of Mena, Arkansas. And this is so exciting because it's been in the news a lot lately, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it just, oh my gosh, this is so exciting because there's so many pieces and parts to this. And Orville and Cheryl Murphy, the owners of the camp, are right here. And then we have Chase Kletsky, who's, you're still MUFON investigator, right? MUFON investigator.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm also KGRA investigator. And yeah. This case is, is Race Hobson's lead. And I was brought in to help him as an investigator on this case. So it's one of the best I've worked in probably ever.
Fantastic. And we have Race Hobbs here as well.
Oh. Yes, I'm here, but I had to go get some bottled water.
It's
just a little hot still here.
I know.
Arkansas.
Can you believe the weather today?
Coming back from Utah, where it's like 32 at night, you know, we would be in down coats right now. And then just last week, but Chase and I just arrived back in our home here in Arkansas. And it's a little more like Georgia for her and home for us. So we're kind of sweating it out, right, sis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well, I couldn't believe it. On the drive down, it was 90 degrees in part of the area that I came through. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't dress for this. What? No. Oh, my gosh. I don't.
Yeah, you came down way off the mountains and mm-hmm. Ozark Mountains.
Yes.
To go through the valley.
Yes.
And then come back up into the Washita
right.
Mountains.
Exactly.
Down south.
Yes. So one mountain range into another mountain range, and
here you are.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful here, everyone, and some really cool things happening. So let's start at the beginning rather than just jumping right in to the crazy things that are going on. I always like to get your story. I like people's stories. So how did you even get here? How did you even come upon being in Mena or, you know, in here? You know, what brought you here? Were you always here?
No, we actually, both of us were born and raised in California.
Okay.
And after spending all of our lives there, which was nearly 50 some years, mm-hmm. We decided to leave California. We wanted to move somewhere else, but we knew we didn't want to move into snow country because we were living in Northern California and didn't like that.
Okay.
So anyway, getting older, don't want to shovel snow anymore. A friend
that.
Of ours grew up in Mena, Arkansas, and we lived in the mountains of California. So we thought, hey, we like the mountains of Arkansas. Let's check it out. You know, that looked great. So we did. We fell in love with it here in Mena. It's a very small town, mm-hmm. and we, you know, just kind of going back in time, going back to Mayberry, maybe 50 years ago,
right,
or so. And so we ended up here, and we made an investment on some property, and we thought we'd open a campground because there are other campgrounds in the area, and the area is famous for the Wolf Pen trails where people like to come and ride their ATVs, and that's part of the National Forest, the Washita National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, well, we'll open a campground. That'll be like a nice little business, kind of lead us into retirement, give us something to do.
Okay.
Well, we found some property purchased 40 acres, began to clear the property, and found an abundance, or what we thought might be an abundance, of quartz crystals. Now, the Ouachita Mountains is known for its quartz crystal deposits, and there are lots of crystal mines in this area. Most of them are mining on a large commercial level, mm-hmm. And have been around for years and very renowned for their mining. And so anyway,
right in this area, mm-hmm. or I know this, well, further
right the
east.
Whole Ouachita okay. area, yeah, okay. and mostly mm-hmm. east, kind of going mm-hmm. toward Hot Springs right. or the Mount Ida area.
Right,
that's where most of the other crystal mm-hmm. mines are. So we didn't know anything really about crystals, so we invited the state geologist to come take a look mm-hmm. at our property, and he pointed out quite a few crystal veins on our property.
Oh, wonderful.
And he suggested we might open a public dig site like they have in the Mount Ida area. Mm-hmm. And we're like, wow, what a great idea. Uh-huh. Well, then he proceeded to tell us we had to get federal and state mining licenses, and we had to become federal miners, and we
oh
had to
goodness.
Have our land certified by the state of Arkansas Mining Division. And so it took us about a year and a half or so to get our certifications and our license to do this. And all we really wanted to do was open it up for rock hounding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't want to do the big mining thing, but anyway, we still had to get our license. But what a joy it was. We opened in 2012, and we just really, the last 5 years, we've enjoyed having families come out and do their little crystal digging, and it's mm-hmm. treasure hunting. It's the best type of treasure hunting.
Absolutely.
It really is, to mm-hmm. dig your own crystals, and there's an abundance on our property. Many right on the surface. You just, after every rainstorm, you can just go out there mm-hmm. and gather to your heart's content, just mm-hmm. on the surface. Forget the digging, but, you know, it's fun to also dig and find little pockets.
Well, because I've been to the mines,
okay.
one of the mines in Mount mm-hmm. Ida, but they do it, you know, they pull it out and put it on the top.
Right, and that's called tailings piles.
Okay.
And you know, that's, the dirt's already dug up and mm-hmm. kind of softer, and,
right.
you know, and so, but we don't do that because we're not using mm-hmm. heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we also appreciate nature and wanted to keep mm-hmm. our land and our environment
yeah,
totally
I like
natural.
That.
Thank
yeah.
you. And just let people come out and, you know, sit down mm-hmm. with a bucket and, you mm-hmm. know, some hand tools and dig to their heart's content. And
cool.
And we love having
and
kids out.
And they're still
out.
On right on the top of the ground,
yes.
even though you're not doing any of this
right, right.
major earth work.
Right, right. So we didn't have to do that because there's so many crystals on the surface. So it's a true treasure mm-hmm. hunt, and we enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're fixing to open our mine up for its sixth season this year.
Right.
And that's when, in actually February, just a couple weeks before we formally opened, mm-hmm. on February 18th, we had a very surprise thing happen to us that actually ended up changing our lives, I'm sure, forever. And it was a step toward the paranormal. We had no idea we would ever experience anything like this or head in this direction. I mean, we always like sci-fi on TV, mm-hmm. you know, like everybody else, but other than that, we were just kind of average persons, right? Mm-hmm. Just living right. life and earning yeah. a living and enjoying our families mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like normal people.
No, yeah, normal.
Using the, yeah, put quotation marks around the word normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm thinking, are we abnormal?
yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
we experience this mm-hmm. and sometimes at yeah. first especially you yeah. start
what
feeling
did, what
that
did
way.
We do to ask
yeah.
for this?
yeah. Right. So I don't want to hog the whole time here. I don't know if Orville wants to take it from there, or that's basically in a mm-hmm. nutshell our mm-hmm. background,
yeah.
which is what you asked about.
Absolutely.
That brought us up to
that brought you
when
okay.
the
all
new
right.
segment of our life started
okay.
in February.
So we're up to February. So what started happening? Who wants to take it from there?
Well, we went outside, and our son Josh, in his 40s, come up to visit. And he'd never been on property before. And I said, Josh, come on out. Look at the little lights and stuff that move around out here every night. And they're kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to look. And he came back in. And he says, oh, Mom, you got to go out and watch the lights. She goes, I never see any lights. But we talked her into it. She went out. And we stood out there for a little bit. And all of a sudden, the top of the hill, it just lit up. I mean, it was just an insane amount of light. And then we saw three big beams. And they went up about 300 feet. They were about 30 feet wide. And they were flat right across the top.
Oh, wow.
And so, of course, we're standing there just amazed. Nobody knows what to do or what to say. Mm-hmm. But one thing I noticed, that they were not casting shadows. Mm-hmm. But we called a friend of ours who ended up calling MUFON. 3 days later, we have MUFON out here. Mm-hmm. And we just took it from that and said, hey guys, what was it?
Yeah.
And you know what? This would be a good time to let Chase and Race in, because they were the ones that came out and actually did the initial investigation.
Okay. Got a call from Race. He was so excited. And that doesn't happen very often when we're talking about investigations, but I could hear in his voice, Chase, I just got off the phone and there's an incredible report. I just talked to the witnesses. They're very credible. There's a lot, you know. And he just kind of fills me in. He says, do you think you could come out to Arkansas and join me on this investigation? And, of course, my answer was absolutely. Uh-huh. And that's how, you know, I kind of got involved and started.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I received a request to call Orville about a case. And the big thing about being so excited is you never really get these good cases, these trace cases with elements of trace at home in your home state.
Right, right.
We always have to, you know, hear about it from another investigator somewhere, and we have to go support them. And just, well, this was our chance to send down here on our own home turf, so to speak, because Chase is very familiar with Arkansas. She did a lot of time right there over the river in Tennessee, over there in Memphis and that area. Mm-hmm. And now she's in Georgia. It was a little bit of a trek, but within 24 hours, she was in the within the borders of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We gathered together with our preliminary investigation plan, and down here we came. These two witnesses, Julia, are among, as far as I'm concerned, some of the best you could get with respect to, number one, the first words out of Orville's mouth was safety for his patrons that come to this mine. It's a public mine. Mm-hmm. You can bring your family down here, the whole gang, Adnan and Kristen and all the kids and everybody, and you can come down here and you can stay here. You can dig for crystals and keep what you find. And it's just a wonderful, beautiful place. And he was concerned about those folks, because the thing of it was where this light originated from, according to Orville, there were T-posts, metal T-posts. A lot of folks in the country know what those are. Those are the those are posts that hold the barbed wire fence to keep cattle and livestock in. And so these posts were like bent and twisted back. There was a metal gate, road gate, that had been twisted and turned over and laid down. There was a bucket of water they used to clean the crystals that they dug up that was turned over uphill, up on its side, uphill away. And the digging tools, the picks and the tools had been moved. And they had been laying there for a long time on rubber mats where you, because, you know, you're on your knees and your hands and you're digging. And these rubber mats, you know, a good cushion for your knees, and they're black. And where the rain had come down on the tools left a perfect little dirt outline of where they went. So when he came here to look, he could see that those tools had been moved. So there was definitely an epicenter to this event. And so when I hear this, I'm like, holy cow, I've got to call in the big guns. And Chase Gletsky was on the other end of that phone. She is the preeminent sort of CSI paranormal investigator. She has all of the equipment, every tool, every diaper, everything you need to collect trace evidence.
Right.
And but Orville, with respect to Orville as a witness, his concern was not UFOs or aliens or ghosts or Bigfoot or anything like that. It was simply a landowner who was, you know, starting a, you know, up a business, a startup business on his own. And he saw, you know, with his background, you know, working with the government and FEMA and the Department of Defense and, you know, and all that. I mean, there's just a concern for public safety. So with that said, I'm like, this is incredible. You've got trace evidence, a potential trace evidence. It's right here at home. And you've got a witness former military,
right.
government employee, very credible witness.
Yes.
That's not talking about UFOs and craziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those four elements right there sent every, you know, happy bell off in my brain that I was in. So it's the call we all want.
Yeah. You know, it was perfect combination in every way.
So by the time we got here, really quickly, by the time we got here, they were gracious hosts. You know, in the investigation manuals that we have all followed all of our career, teach us to not bond or personally bond with the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always going to come a time where we have to move on to the next case. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have time to, you know, to keep the counsel going and, you know, keep the phone answered and for everybody and all that. So, you know, you're kind of taught from day one that you don't really, you know, you don't really find yourself bonding and befriending these people because eventually you have to move on and you don't want them to take this personal.
I feel abandoned.
Right. A very, very, very well said, Chase. I just couldn't do it. This is the first time that that bond, that line in the manual was just ignored completely. I couldn't help it. First of all, I would have never known outside of their accents a little bit that they weren't from here. They're every bit Arkanese, if you will, as I am, and Robin, anyone else. But you know, at the same time, they're very gracious, they're very studious, they're very intelligent.
That's the first thing I got from them was how intelligent, you know, both of them are. And, of course, Orville with his background, because you have to have a safety brief before you even go near the mine. And, you know, giving classes and just vetting all of his credentials is just immaculate.
His former employment requires him to work in detail. Every little detail counts. So he did a very good job of preliminary investigation. First off, he sealed the mine off. Nobody comes in, nobody goes out. Chase and I were here within 48 hours, I think.
Yes.
You know, it was a very good, quick reaction time. Very rare do you get those cases, very rarely. So, but all the elements were there. Everything worked. We got here. We had all the tools that we, you know, at our disposal. We had the time. We had full run of the place. They answered any questions we had. They, you know, they were just the perfect pair to help us help them as best we could.
Mm-hmm.
We conducted a full investigation. We took all of the samples, all of the inside samples from the epicenter, the control samples we needed, soil, water, stone, crystal, and we got it all. Chase, you could talk a little bit more about some of the more technical part of the investigation as it followed once we left and we sent those samples out.
The samples really, I even took the water samples. Water tends to be a trap sometimes. And, you know, there was a bucket of water that tipped over uphill. It was just a bizarre sight to see because they don't do that. We know, you know, the physical elements of just the properties of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But what I
so the I was, water moved uphill as well?
No, the whole bucket.
The bucket fell
and it,
uphill
and it
with
still
water.
It had water in it. And,
okay.
And I think the key point here is people really don't think about a lot is water has metal in it as well. So I think the molecular structure and the contents that were in that water also were affected from that energy, whatever that was. But anyway, I'm sorry, Chase, that I may interrupt you there.
We had the test out and run, and there was nothing extraordinary. You know, a couple of fluctuations here and there that were a little odd, but there was nothing extraordinary about it. It all came down to when we entered that site, clearly everything had been pushed back from an event that happened in the middle of that crystal mine. Everything, fence post, it clearly something happened. The best evidence that is still repeatable to this day is the metal things that magnetized. And at one end, you're getting, you know, a circular movement on the compass. On the other end, it will go the opposite way. And then, of course, with the Gauss meter and other tools or investigation apparatus that we were using, clearly they're bipolar, which is even more odd. And there's a lot of science behind this case that we did take care of after October 23rd, I believe it is, yeah. We'll be putting out a full report mm-hmm. and making that available to everybody so they can see all the analysis we had done.
The 25th.
The 25th. Yeah. And, you know, it was a really good case. The biggest thing was going back through the history, and as we're researching, it is shocking how much information or how much paranormal activity stating almost the same things, you know, strange lights, what can only be described as UFO crafts or just really bizarre events happening all the way back to the late 1800s.
In this area?
In Mena.
Oh, my goodness.
And Polk County, yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we almost couldn't go anywhere. We're, you know, Rachel and I, the mm-hmm. first time we're here, mm-hmm. and then I came out, we both came out a second time. And it was so shocking to hear people that would just come up and start telling you, because they knew why we were here,
mm-hmm.
telling you of the events that, you know, their parents told them and things that they saw.
Mm-hmm.
So the history here was probably the reason we wanted to dig in a little deeper,
mm-hmm.
because clearly something's going on.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting something major right now. Okay.
And the thing is, I'd like to tell people that January, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe none of this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was a scientist. So January, I'm a skeptic. February, I'm amazed. And by March, I was a believer. We've seen so much stuff mm-hmm. and so many things happen. You have no choice but to believe in something. And like yeah. I was saying earlier, yeah. just because we don't understand mm-hmm. the language does not mean there's not a message.
Exactly. Can you talk about some of the things that have been happening?
Well, we have caught on our cameras, lights, rock movement. We've seen it physically. We're up to hundreds of witnesses now because we're putting on tours mm-hmm. and people are coming up for the night tours and they're getting to see for themselves. And I'd like to add, Cheryl and I are not investigators because we don't know how to investigate. We don't know what to investigate. So we consider ourselves just guardians of the site. And
I think that's such a beautiful.
I love that.
I do too.
But the thing is, we can't go out and investigate because we wouldn't know where to start.
I want to interrupt you real quick. It's today, and my truck I pulled up. Cheryl said something very cool. She was like, you know, who are we going to call? You know, that she was thanking. I was thanking them, and I will always thank them. But she was like, you know, we're going to call the sheriff. What are we going to, you know? And normally he starts going, yeah, we saw lights. Well, did it shoot at you? Well, no, you know, who do you call? And I have investigated so many cases down here in Mena before, lights in the sky, lights in the mm-hmm. trees, missing animals, you know, livestock and stuff mm-hmm. up down here. Two horses came out of one pasture. We found them 5 miles away in another. Unharmed, unscraped, just real bizarre Bigfoot reports, mm-hmm. lights in the trees, mm-hmm. lights in the sky,
mm-hmm.
Just anomalous stuff. But I just love the way she said that. Who are you going to call? That's when my heart just mm-hmm. flows with happiness, because that's why Chase and I are truthers. We're looking for the answers that we know very well we may go on to glory and never get here. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to get them the next go round. But for ourselves, no. This is for humanity. It's for all of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's for mankind. And
yeah.
these two,
yeah.
from day one, when they began to realize that there was something here, because, mm-hmm. you know, we can mow the lawn over and over and over and over and over again, but until you look over in that bush and see that gnome over there, you're going to say, well, how did I miss that? You know what I mean? And so you start looking in the bushes mm-hmm. every time you go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you start to see stuff peeking out all around. Well, they're starting to look around. This event mm-hmm. happened. They actually were sitting outside at the right time at the right place, and it happened, and it just flipped a switch with them to where they started paying attention. When someone sees a UFO in the sky for the first time, they walk around stepping on everybody and everything and fumbling around because they're always have their nose up looking at the sky.
Well, we look at it like this. We own the land, and we get reminded of that every year by the tax man. But as far as the event itself, we can't own that. You can't own knowledge. You can't own science. Whatever is going on out there on the hill belongs to all the people of the world. You know what I'm saying? You can't take it and say, this is my crop circle, or this is my shiny rock, or this is my, you can't own an orb, you know. Mm-hmm. It does belong to everybody. And that's why we so enjoy doing the tours, because people come out and they interface and talk and share, and everybody leaves friends, and they're all back and forth talking to one another and sharing Facebook and
some emails. People will think that, yeah. Think some people won't. Mm-hmm. But it's it's a testament to the both of them. Mm-hmm. To open this place, right, Chase? To open this place to others, because you have the opportunity to come here and, you know, potentially share in the experiences that they've had. And that doesn't happen. The Marley mm-hmm. Woods, for example, up in Missouri. You know, we have a good friend that you know, Ted Phillips, mm-hmm. who was asked to come investigate lights there. There's anomalous activity there all the time, and he's the only one allowed in or out. No one else gets to go in or out of this place and get to see this for themselves. Here, it's different. And it's, you know, they could still be mining. You could still be coming here, paying to stay, paying to monitor. Now they've closed that section of their land down for mining, and they just ask for a few bucks for tours. You can look at their collections and share in their stories and their adventure. And it's just a wonderful testament to the type of folks that they are. And I'm glad to have these two beautiful Californians here in Arkansas.
Well, you know, when you were saying it's like you feel like you're a guardian, and when you said that earlier, when you said that and it had such a feel to it, and when you said that, what I got was you – what did it feel like when you found this land?
Well, the thing is, we moved from Siskiyou County, almost to Oregon. We lived at the base of Mount Shasta.
Oh,
and then
I was going to talk to you about Mount Shasta.
All of a sudden, here we are. I don't believe, now when I look back, I don't believe that it was all a coincidence.
No, it wasn't.
We used to get up and sit and have coffee on the porch and watch the mountain. We fished at the mountain. We camped on the mountain.
Did you ever see lights on top of that mountain?
Yes.
Yes.
We thought they were cool.
And now he's got them right in his backyard here in the natural state.
I think we
you
were.
You may have brought them with you.
So
maybe.
And now we get here, and all of a sudden we're finding out that, well, you just left another hot spot, and I'm going, you just can't get away from it. If you called, and there's no, you know, it's like a red light coming on, you know, behind you on the freeway. Yeah. You got see, no choice but to pull over.
Well, that's why you're the guardian. See, you didn't find the land. The land found you.
Mm-hmm.
You, what's the wording of it? You were the only ones that could have this land. I wonder how long it was on the market.
It was on the market for a while. In fact, I think she even declined a few offers, the owner, and then sold it to us. So it was kind of interesting. But
I think things happen for a reason.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, being scientific my whole life, one and one equals two, and that's it. There are no other different ways of... I found out that that's not always true. One and one doesn't always equal two.
Right. Exactly.
So, but.
So now you're starting to go back and look at things and going,
We saw stuff in the past that we never made the connection.
Yes, right.
I'd go dig crystals and I have a black lab. And you know how black labs are? I mean, they're like a shadow. They're hooked right to you the whole time. And they're just happy, happy, happy all the time. They're like a little kid on an ice cream truck. And the dog would get up and he'd leave. He'd go 100 feet away and sit behind a tree for an hour. And then he'd come back and sit next to me. Now I realize why he was leaving. We found rocks on the lawn, and I accused the neighbor to put the rocks up on the lawn. I've been saying that for years. And now everything makes sense.
That's amazing.
We would be digging crystals, and your tools are always spread out into crystals or in a pile. Go get lunch, come back, the crystals are spread out, and the tools are lined up. And if you ever seen one of us digging crystals, we don't sit and line up tools. We're not performing surgery. But I'm saying, okay, who's up here fooling around? It's not funny, you know? So now it does make sense. But I think I think that probably most of our lives we were being groomed to get ready to watch the gate.
Where do you stop? Where do you start? How hard or how tight do you hold on? For Chase and I, it has been scientific method and nuts and bolts investigation, mm-hmm. still to this day. Mm-hmm. But I think, or at least for me, I'll let her speak for herself. Mm-hmm. But for me, and then, of course, learning so much through you and your DVDs and following your career with your mother. And because I've, you know, only known you guys for 5 years, 4 or 5 years. But I've always known your mother and then now knowing you. And, you know, sometimes you just have to let go of the rope. Sometimes you just have to, you know, kind of, instead of open your eyes, just close them and then just let go. Mm-hmm. Because a very scientific guy involved in UFOs and ET study, J. Allen Hynek, once said, you probably are going to have to put your spiritual glasses on to just begin to understand what all of this is really about. And I talked to Chase about that earlier today. That was a quote that stuck in my mind. And throughout our careers, it's something that's always sort of loomed in the background. And so to see these two folks, and I'll let Cheryl, because I interrupted Cheryl just a little bit, but you know, to see these folks go through something like this, which, you know, had them sort of, you know, in a quandary at first, embrace it. You know, a lot of people will say, and I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to shut up. A lot of people will say, you know, when people see a UFO, a real UFO, for the first time, all of a sudden, every little blink or light in the sky is a UFO.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's probably true to a great extent. But also, as I said about the gnome in the bushes,
right.
You know, or the, you know, like in your book, your children's book that Chase wrote, you know, mm-hmm. Are aliens really real? Mm-hmm. You know, with all throughout the book, there's aliens here and there, mm-hmm. and the little children have to find them. You have mm-hmm. to look and find them. And Mims mm-hmm. and the grandson, you know, it's just a lovely book. It's the same premise. You know, I used to sweep floors at Walmart before they had them big machines and all that stuff. And I would find money on the floor that people walked over all day. Mm-hmm. Their feet literally touched it and they just walked right on because they didn't see it. And that was before smartphones. Now everybody's in one of those and still shopping somehow. I don't know how that works.
I know.
But people they don't realize how narrow their perception can be.
Exactly.
And so if you can walk over money, a Walmart-sized UFO can fly right over your head and you'll never see it.
Yeah.
But people do see it. And when they do, they start looking. And when you start looking, you see stuff.
Yes.
When you catch a fish, you go back, you might not catch a fish. You might go back and never catch another fish for a year, but eventually you're going to catch another one. You got to keep fishing to do it, though, right? Mm-hmm. And so to see these two folks embrace this, it's really been an experience that I've never gotten before because we've never sort of had that relationship. So now here we are doing a follow-up KGRA investigations. Of course, mm-hmm. Chase is the chief investigator for this investigation team. And we had brought production staff, investigation teams, and every little dilly-dally brought to bear down here on this second investigation into all of this new activity.
Including Julia, because I do believe, we were talking earlier, I am known for science and nuts and bolts. That's my forte. I insist on it to be an admissibility and a burden of proof, especially with the public and the skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
We have to meet that scrutiny.
Right.
However, we're not going to get these answers until we embrace a consciousness and a metaphysical side of this science. I've always said I don't believe we're going to get the answers through disclosure. We're going to get it through the science we haven't uncovered yet. We're going to get it through, you know, that system of elimination. And as we go forward in our pursuits, that's exactly how it's all going to come out. So having you here on site, and you're joining the team to investigate, which is amazing.
It's so surreal to me.
It's so great to have you.
See what she just did? The listeners at home can't see what you just did. But that's what I did when she said she wanted to come down here. I was like,
We were so excited because, you know, you bring an element that we had missing, and that is a grand scheme, a lot of experienced information and processed information and knowledge of the metaphysic kind of consciousness side that we need up here at the mine, because other witnesses that are here are telling Orville and Cheryl of this. Orville's a science guy, Cheryl is a spiritualist, and they're the perfect combination to understand everything going on up here.
Yeah, right now I'm just enjoying the ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying looking at you. For all the listeners at home, he looks a lot like Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
There you go.
Now everyone's going to get on their cell phones and look that up.
Cheryl, what if I could play the host for just a moment?
Absolutely.
What is, you know, what elements about all of this do you feel are the most positive? Because everybody I see around here is smiling. That, you know, the people that come and go, and your friends and the new friends that you've made, everybody's real excited. The energy is so good here.
Well, I think one of the most positive things I've experienced is beginning to meet all kinds of new different people who have also had similar type of experiences in the norm of the paranormal, for lack of a better word, you know, something that's not normal in our normal, as we view our normal everyday lives. And also, probably the highest compliment I've received from people I know is that when we tell them the story or they're hearing about the story, it's like, you know what, your story is unbelievable, but I believe you.
Yeah.
And wow, that's the highest compliment I believe, you know, to be paid.
Yeah.
And to go public with this type of thing, it's a huge risk, especially for people in business like we are or have been. You know, I mean, it's kind of a big decision, but there again, as Orville was saying, we recognize that we are guardians of this information. It's been revealed to us, and we have a responsibility on how to deliver this information, the message, to the public and to the world. And so we take it seriously, and we want to make sure that, you know, the right information is disseminated. And, you know, people are going to get our story and tell secondhand, and that's the way life is. I mean, you know, you hear a story and you just tell it secondhand, but that's one reason we decided we're going to open the grounds up to the public and invite them to come in on these tours so they can hear the story right from us, straightforward, and then see for themselves. And there's a huge opportunity when people come for the tours that they actually can experience some of the phenomena.
Well, people I laugh because you guys closed the mine for safety reasons, and then when it opened, I was proud of you because, you know, we'd never thought that there would be anything really harmful at all here. And then we get up there and we see that it's actually cornered off still. It's still blocked.
Very
safe distance for everybody. You can still experience everything absolutely firsthand. And you can still dig for crystals in other places, but not there. And it's just, I kind of giggled because it was so horrible. So horrible to say. We have to share this, but like, this is how we can do it safely.
There's no way you're going to fall into a hole up there now.
Exactly.
I can tell you that. Now, listen, I'm a big fella. I had to be careful navigating myself around up there because, you know, they've been doing some work, but he has it absolutely as safe as it could be. Mm-hmm. I got up there today for the first time since February. And I just, Chase put it perfectly. It is
so
horrible.
So horrible.
It's like safety. It's like, oh, shit, went up there and did it, you know.
No, well, Orville, you said something a minute ago that I'd like to follow up on.
Okay.
You called it, it's like, essentially, you're the guardian of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on that? How you see
that? Well, you know, they say remember the old saying, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't build this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it built itself. So if we are guardians, the best way to guardian the site is to watch the gate. So we're pretty much the gatekeepers,
the
you
gatekeepers,
know.
Okay.
But, you know, and we've had so many people tell, oh, yeah, you built this. We didn't do any of this. It mm-hmm. done it itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed itself to us. One night, 56 people on a tour mm-hmm. down here. They had tour buses and just and the whole top of that hill went nuts. And lights and everything, and everybody standing and cheering and clapping. And I thought, all right, that's pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody told me one time, they said, wow, you've done all this science stuff and everything, and you're kind of like the professor on Gilligan's Island. And I said, no, wait a minute. The professor on Gilligan's Island was pretty smart. He could build a radio out of a coconut, right? But he didn't even know how to patch a hole in a boat. I could at least patch the hole in the boat. I wouldn't be on the island, all right? So but we learned so much from the people who come up and share their stories.
Yes.
And it would be so arrogant of us to say, okay, this is my hill and this is my mm-hmm. site and this mm-hmm. is, nothing is ours. And everything we have here, a lot of the, bit of knowledge we've gotten so far, it's come from Chase, Race, mm-hmm. and all the other mm-hmm. people who have shown up. And of course, you know, there are people out there who are naysayers who, they get upset. No, mm-hmm. no, this is a hoax. This is fake mm-hmm. and whatever.
Right.
But
they haven't been here.
They haven't been here.
You know, the levitating rock should absolutely be the most ridiculous thing anyone ever hears.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. What happened to my witnesses?
Yeah, exactly. Until yeah. I got here today. And when Orville is recreating, you know, the rock and where it was a placement,
mm-hmm.
and we have the video. Right. And so we're doing this physically because we want to see how heavy is this rock. You
right.
know, and all of a sudden, I wanted to do this, but I look up. Where is he going to tie this fish string? I mean, there's nothing to tie it to. All around, I'm looking like, how could I fake this? You can't.
See, and that's okay. So everybody, if you hadn't seen this on the internet, that's one of the things that was happening that Orville got pictures of, with rocks were levitating. I mean, there's lights that just flash and then rocks levitate. And I mean, it's
metal is yeah. being bent
right.
and manipulated and moved.
But that's why you have to mm-hmm. come to the site. Come out mm-hmm. here and see for yourself, mm-hmm. because it's easy to, on a video, look at it and roll your eyes. Like, mm-hmm. Rance and I giggle, and we both kind of was like, oh, no, Orville.
But when I saw and the yet, scale one,
thing, right.
he went through the trouble because he's mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. smart. Very. And he built this mm-hmm. scale and put cameras on it.
Right.
And you can see without any equivocation that this scale is moving and the rock on it yeah. is moving.
Right. The amount of scrutiny we put on these photos and the amount of scrutiny we put into the investigation. And today is the day that I could put boots back on the ground since the levitating rocks and say, if he's doing this, if this is a hoax, the man should be the highest paid FX guy in Hollywood, because there's nowhere to do it. I'm standing there.
Yeah.
So, you know, before the critics sit back, you know, in their comfy mm-hmm. homes and have never been out and want a keyboard insults, mm-hmm. you know, come out to the mine. You need to start coming out and looking yourself.
Yeah.
And of course, the challenge is out there that if you can find an answer of what the pillars were and some of these other things, we'd love to hear it
yeah.
because we want the truth.
Right.
No one has said mm-hmm. this is UFO, Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. We're telling you there's an enormous amount of mystery here,
yeah.
and it is ongoing.
And this is one of those rare places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone can come.
Right. That
and do their own.
Yes. So I invite them. If you're skeptic, you're absolutely the person we want to come out here.
How many places have we investigated? This is the only one, matter of fact. This is the only one in my memory of any case that I've investigated out the wild, where they've opened this area, their area open mm-hmm. to the public and say, come look for yourself.
That's because there's nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And not only that, like I said before, people are getting messages when they get here. So when they show up and they receive a message, mm-hmm. I don't want to be the one to take that message away from them by locking the gate.
Yeah.
You know, it's we can't do that.
No.
It's not morally right.
No, and that's what it's all about.
Right.
And these two, tell me, Julie, what you think.
Oh, my gosh.
You've been here for a little over an hour.
Yeah.
And you've talked with them briefly, and I'm telling you, what you see here is what you get.
Yeah, salt of the earth, just beautiful, beautiful people.
Oh, and almost wonderful. As intelligent as they are beautiful.
Oh, I am just honored. I am so honored and blessed to be here.
And so thank you. We're honored and blessed to be able to share our story, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh goodness. It's Love City in
it's
here.
A love
I wanted to ask you guys, have you had any other cases similar to this phenomena, to this?
We get a lot of the orb cases.
Mm-hmm.
I will be honest, I've never personally had a case with this much evidence, trace evidence, and not only testable elements that are repeatable, which of course we know is very important in that scientific method. But there's a whole different element. It's funny. I was laughing because Orville's talk about some of the people that come out here and they'll have an experience and it's completely different than the scientific mindset we have. And he's growing from it. And he said that everybody has their own experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be people out here that are looking for the science. There'll be people out here looking for a very metaphysical experience, but each person has their own, and he's not going to, because he may not understand what they had. He'll never take it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so open about making sure that people get to leave with the validation because of their truth and what they experienced. They can leave. It's the same as them coming forward with what happened here in the first place. And it's been a wonderful, it's the biggest case as far as evidence and ongoing phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact it's been corroborated by hundreds now that have seen the same things that we're investigating, and we're not done investigating it yet. No. We're definitely still digging in. The challenge questions today, I'm sure Orville knew, but we're sitting there. He's got the rock. I'm looking up. He knows what I'm doing. I'm challenging.
Because he did the same thing.
Exactly. He does the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it because I need to eliminate. Do I believe Orville and Cheryl and credibility? 100%.
Well, somebody actually posted, I can see the string.
Where is it tied to?
If I could find invisible string that'll hold a 10-pound rock, I would make millions selling the string.
That's the truth.
Tying it to an invisible branch that's hanging right over where
there's also the potential of digging a hole and putting a magnet in there, a monopole magnet, and levitating it, putting a magnet in a rock and levitating it with a magnet. But when you match the rock to the video, and the rock is absolutely a natural formed rock and there's no manipulation to it, that's, you rule that out. But I wanted to say, Chase, when we were doing an investigation in Kentucky this year, later this year, we actually had a lady.
Race and I almost fell off the table when she told us her story, and I'll let you tell it because we both dropped and revealed our cards, which investigators don't do, but I looked at Race, he looked at me, and we're like, are you serious?
I spilled the beans. But, there's no way she could have known what we knew and what we had investigated, and we had searched the records, and we had found some other stuff that was kind of like what we came here to investigate, the lights, and the columns of light. We found them separate, but not together. Very rare, though. I mean, I could count them on one hand or less. I mean, maybe just the three fingers. I can't remember. It was two or three, maybe, that we found in the entire record that I was able to research. But this young lady in Kentucky sat and told us a story about seeing light come out of the ground. She could literally see the grass blades illuminate as this developed and came up and just lit up the whole field out behind their farm. And right by where we were, in mm-hmm. fact, that night, and we're on this investigation, a totally separate thing. Okay. And when she said this, you saw the reaction from Jay.
Well, it was when one of us, I don't remember who, we asked her to describe the light. You know, what color was right. the light? How did the light look? And it wasn't until she said it was almost like it was in a glass tube mm-hmm. because it was, and she said it was a whitish blue. And she said, you know, the funniest thing is you could see the where the top stopped.
Oh.
It had, that's when we about fell out.
I did fall out of my chair. Oh. So there, you know, there's validation there.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
just, you know, but I always wondered, and I said this to Chase, how many times does this happen in the daytime mm-hmm. when you're not going to see it?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
necessarily see it.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea, no way to know, but we do know this. We've got a couple of beautiful sets of eyes that are pretty much on it constantly now, and they've invited the public to come down and take a look at it. So, you know, you guys, if you're interested in this kind of thing, and you're in a spiritual, coming from a spiritual background or investigator background or just an adventurous background, come see the Board Camp Crystal Mine and have your own visit, your own experience, and maybe you'll walk away one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, so the paranormal investigators, I love when they go to the cemeteries because, well, they didn't die there. Why do you think yeah. they'd hang there?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, you have paranormal activity that are right here.
Right.
You know, you want
right.
a real adventure?
Yeah.
Come to where the real action is, right?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I was asking you, Orville, earlier if you feel energy, and you were saying that you do
oh,
feel
yeah,
energy
yeah.
at the site.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want to describe that? Again,
well,
what happened there?
Last night was pretty strong. I was feeling a little bit of a tingle, and I can kind of sense it was out in front of the mm-hmm. stage and to the right, because we're all sitting up on the stage watching. So I decided I'm going to dart over there because mm-hmm. I don't think there's nothing there that's going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go check it out.
And that's something that you said earlier. You have no fear about
no fear
any
at all.
Of this.
No fear at all.
I think that's he very important.
Yeah. No gun yeah. either.
Yeah.
No, I'm not
yeah.
going out in the woods by myself mm-hmm. without a weapon. Not happening. He goes trundling out mm-hmm. there, you know, and his lovely wife here, I'm on the stage, Chase, everybody, we're up there doing our thing. And she's bringing me coffee and oatmeal cookies, and I'm, you know, just loving it. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I saw what looked like a sparkler in the dark. You know, like if you had a couple of sparklers and you just did this for just a second.
Uh-huh.
And then when I looked over there, I didn't see anything. And I hear him, but I can't see him because it's pitch dark.
Okay.
And he's literally, later he comes back over and he shows me this picture. He's literally inside all of these little sparks. And he had his phone out and was taking pictures the whole time as he's walking through because he saw.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you tell him.
Yeah, and I got back to the stage, and I come walking up the stage, and I'm like, okay. I mean, it is kind of like drained you know. And I sat on the stage a little bit, kind of got my energy back up. But you could feel tingling like cobwebs all over your body and just little tingles, you know, your hair standing up. So
he was telling me the story, doing that to my arm, and I'm like,
yeah.
You know.
and then later we heard this noise out in the woods. So I walk up the road a little bit, and Grace has got the FLIR on me. So he can see me through the infrared, and all of a sudden – it may sound like a tank coming through the woods, and there was just a ton of noise. And
I thought something was coming to get him.
And
because he'd been hearing sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like wood knocks from over in that section of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're watching me the whole time from the stage. They got me on the floor and everything. And it sounds like a war going on out there. And all of a sudden it gets real quiet, and I go, I'm okay.
Yeah. We're like, well, come to find out, because I know we only got a minute left. Come to find out, a pallet that you would put like mm-hmm. material on and put a forklift to, he had pushed off into the woods 2 years ago with had hay on it, you know, when they were, and this thing comes flying out of the woods into the road about 15 or 20 feet in front of him. I was watching him on a FLIR camera from no more than 40 yards away. And he wasn't, there's no way his body movement could not have grabbed a pallet and threw it. It couldn't have happened. And I heard the racket that it made. So there's just a lot of weird things that happen. I think that, you know, he wasn't supposed to go any further down that road right then, you know.
But I kept the pallet. I carried that pallet all the way back to the state.
Whatever it was, it's not going to get to throw that one again.
That's right.
Sure. Well, very quick. Okay, so just a very short time. Okay, it's the Board Camp. And that's how people can find you. Mm-hmm. It's just the Board Camp, Crystal Mine, right. Mena, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how do they find you guys? They want to know more about your investigation.
Is that with the report? They can come see us tomorrow at the town hall meeting.
Yes.
That you will be at.
Yes.
In mm-hmm. Mena, Arkansas. It's for Polk County. It's open to the public. Everyone can come. And it's going to be at the Rich Mountain Ouachita Center in the West Wing. So, and other than that, they can go to kgraradio.com, kgraradio.com, and click on the investigations tab, and or give us a call.
And is that where that report will be after the on the 25th?
The report about? Will be on what your website, Cheryl.
Oh, mm-hmm. Our website is boardcampcrystalmine.com.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very go. Good.
I do have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Anyone would like to find
it. Is it also Board Camp Crystal Mine?
Yes.
And they've got really cool booklets that they've just gotten done. Wonderful. That detail the very first edition of all of their story here.
Okay.
From February, I think, to April. So well done and thoughtful. Thank you.
With color pictures.
Fantastic. Pictures. Well, this has been a fantastic show, and I am so excited that we all got to be here and do this while we're all here together. And I thank you again. And I thank you, everybody, for being out there. And
you're heading down to the stage.
I am.
Tonight.
I get to go down there now. So
we have Julia investigating with us for two nights.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. Anyway, I'll see you all next week. And good night, everyone.
And she'll have a report.
Yes, I will have a report. Good night. I love you.